Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour, and it's time for Words of Wisdom. And I like to believe that it's plain and simple. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to come before the people of God. And for that, I say thank you. And I thank God, and I thank each and every one of you that calls in on your busy schedule. And we meet week after week exploring the Word of God together. As always, I say that this is not my Bible study, but it is our Bible study. Well, tonight, we're going to come out of the book of Zechariah. And Zechariah is the second to the last book in the Old Testament. This year we have been doing the Old Testament one book at a time. Our lesson tonight is coming out of Zechariah. And we're going to expound on the 14th chapter. I pray that you had time to read the books, the chapters of the book of Zechariah. As always, I'm going to play a song, and I ask that you be prayerful and listen to the words of the song. And once I come back, we're going to go into prayer, and then we're going to go into the lesson. So listen to the music and be prayerful, and we're going to see what God will do and say on tonight. Listen, and we'll come back. Thank you.
Oh,
everyone enjoyed that song. And I thought that song was so appropriate because when God was speaking to his prophets, he was telling them about his master plan. He reminded them sometimes of what they did, and he's telling them what he's going to do, and he's telling them the ultimate future for their lives. And we are in the book of Zechariah today, and we're going to be in the 14th chapter. We're going to expound on verses 1 through 4, and it is now time to go to the throne of grace. I'm elated and excited that my grandson, Madison, has called in tonight, and he expressed that he would lead us into prayer. So be prayerful for him. He's 13 years old. He loved the Lord. And, you know, we have to pray for our youth. So I'm asking each and every one of you to pray for him, to lift him up unto God in prayer. And at this time, I'm opening a mic. Madison?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Would you like to say anything to the people on tonight?
No, ma'am.
You just want to pray?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, you can pray.
God, thanks for allowing me to continue to pray on the program because I've been off, because I haven't paid attention to time or that I had homework, God, or I wasn't focused. Thank you, God, for allowing me to come back. And I hope that people join me coming back instead of my grandma, whoever else was praying and praying about us and you, God. And thank you, God, for allowing people to tune in today. And I hope they enjoy the lesson and all that they're about to learn. And God, just thank you for allowing them to come to this program exactly, because they have many others, but they chose to come to ours. And let me have a job to pray for this so that they can listen. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you so much, Madison. And I pray that you call in on next week. Always remember, I'm very thankful when you do it, and also I love you very much. Thank you, Madison. Have a good night.
Okay.
That was my grandson, Madison. If anyone else would like to pray, you can press the one button on your phone, and I will open the mic for you as well. If anyone else would like to pray, you can press the one button. Well, our prayers has gone up. And I don't know, some kind of way the studio is doing different. I don't know if somebody's trying to pray or have something to say. So at the end of the program, I might open your mic, and if you don't want to say anything, it's okay. But I can't see a prompt when someone press one. So I'm going to say the title of the lesson and the scriptures again, because we have quite a few more callers has called in. So the title of the lesson is The Day of the Lord is Coming. We're going to be in Zechariah, the 14th chapter, the 1st through the 9th verse. As always, I do background, and I want you to know that Zechariah was one of God's minor prophets, and he was also the writer of the book of Zechariah. Zechariah emphasized in his writing that God has used his prophets to teach, warn, and correct his people. You know, unfortunately, no matter how many times the prophet prophesies, you know, the people listen sometime for a little while, and they always turn back to their disobedience. You know, God has always used people to warn his people. You know, in prophecy, he gave them messages. He gave them dreams. He gave them visions. You know, he let them read handwriting on the wall and so on and so on to be able to let the people know what he's telling them. God has never left his people just out there stuck out. You know, at one time, they were judges. And every time a judge ruled, the people listened and began to do better. And soon, y'all remember in our teaching, as soon as the judge died, the people returned to their old ways. Then he allowed them to have kings. And a godly king ruled in a godly way, and then even that got corrupted. God has always had priests. God has always had priests. And the people would listen to the priests, and then they would begin to do what they want. And even the priesthood got corrupted. But unfortunately, they refused to listen, and their sins brought God's judgment and punishment upon them. You know, all of the books of the prophecy, we would see that God had allowed other nations to come in and bring them in captivity because they weren't doing what he said. And then in every book of prophecy where there was doom and gloom and wrath of God, punishment and judgment, before you got out of that book, there was a promise of hope from God saying how he would deliver them. You see, God made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he promised David what he would do and how he would establish a kingdom under his lineage. And if God said it, he's going to do it. With all of the mess-ups and screw-ups over the different centuries, God still has, as the song said, a master plan for his people. You see, God often allowed the pagan nations to capture and punish the Jews. You know, God said in this scripture and a lot more, he said, I'm a jealous God and I am angry with the nations. I'm angry with the Israelites, but I'm also angry with the nations that I allow to come in and punish them because they've gone just too far with the punishment. You see, God allowed the Babylonians and Assyrians to come in and capture the Israelites. But when he got tired of their injustice and their harsh punishment against his people, he always stepped in and said, enough is enough. Oh, what a good God we serve. You see, the book also bears evidence that even prophecy would be corrupt. Because the people wasn't seeing the prophecy of the prophets come true in their lifetimes or how fast they would have wanted them. So they began to become complacent and believe that the prophets were false. You know, plenty of times I'm asked, Sister Diane, how do we know if prophecy or prophet is a false prophet or is it a true prophet? They say as a God, if the prophecy comes through. But you got to realize, you know, it don't always come through at a very short time. You know, sometimes it's very, you know, it may be in the future. But God told them that he said, y'all prophets and all of that. He said, aren't they dead? He said, but everything that I have ever said, most of it, and just about all of it, has come and turned out to be true. He said, that's the difference. You see, history shows that in this period, prophecy fell into disfavor among the Jews. They stopped believing in the prophets. You know, Jeremiah, they called him the weeping prophet because he was so hurt that the more he prophesied and tried to guide them in the things of God, the further away they got. And he cried, he said, not just because they was turning their back on God, but he knew the punishment and damnation that would follow with them doing that. You see, you got to look at this prophecy. I call it lesson, the day of the Lord is coming. You have to look at this and realize that God was giving Jeremiah prophecy about the coming of the Messiah. And plenty of times during reading a prophecy and getting our lesson each week, I always gave y'all a date. Not always, but plenty of times I gave you a date because I wanted you to keep up and see the move in the hand of God and how he works. You see, these scriptures that I'm expounding on tonight was written about 430 B.C. Now, you know the dates in the Old Testament started high and they go low. So if we look at 430, you got to also realize, and this will probably be another lesson, but if it was 430, and when the Old Testament ends, it's a period of 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. So if this was 430, it was really like, it was really 430 years before the New Testament, but the book, the Old Testament, it would have ended in 30 years, and then the period between the old and the new, which is 400 years. If you have any questions, ask me after the program. But this was written about 430. And God is getting to the end of the Old Testament because we have one book left. And you know that everything in the Old Testament points to the coming of Jesus. And you should also know that God doesn't keep his people in the dark, so he's really trying to pump up the volume for them so that they could understand and see where he's going. They're not going to know everything because only God knows certain things, but he won't just leave you stuck out. You see, both Haggai, which was last week, y'all remember that, putting your money in a bag with a hole in it. Haggai and Jeremiah was called and sent by God to motivate the inhabitants of Jerusalem to complete the construction of the temple. And you know, several weeks and plenty of the prophets was always dealing with building a temple. They went at first, they couldn't finish, they only had the foundation, and 14 years later God sent somebody else and they start and they stop. But both of these was during that time when God sent them to build a temple. They played a key role in arousing elders and people under Zerubbabel. And you remember last week the other man's name was Joshua, and I said that it wasn't a Joshua that took over after Moses, but he was the high priest to complete the program. The construction at the temple site began in 520 B.C., and now we're in 430. The numbers go down, do the math. And the building, you know, it started at 5, and the building was completed 4 years later. The construction of the temple site was where God had all of his prophecy going forward for the people. The book of Zechariah teaches that salvation may be obtained by all. The last chapter, which we're going to study tonight, depicts people from all over the world coming to worship God, who desire that all people follow him. See, that's God's desire. It is God's will that all sorts of men be saved. But this is not a doctrine of universalism where everybody would, but that the people would be saved because it is God's desire that people would be saved because that's his nature. But rather, the book teaches that God desired that all people worship him and accept those who do. Love on the household of faith. regardless of their national or political expressions, as in the freeing of Judah and Jerusalem from their political enemies. When I say political enemies, you know, when you read the Bible, you hear a lot about the Assyrians and they was captured, and really in the after the New Testament, after the Old Testament is over, they're going to be reigned and governed by the nation of the Romans. The Romans, you're going to always hear about the Romans. Well, then that's another nation with a political, they became political enemies. But you see, finally, Zechariah preaches that God is sovereign over this world. And they say anything that you could think of that has more power, that has more control, to the contrary, is a lie. You see, what God did, he gave Zechariah his messages and visions. There was 8 visions, if you read it in the book, the first through 8 chapters maybe, talks about the division, where God, about visions that God gave Zechariah to have him to see so that he could go before the people. He does not eliminate the individual freedom to follow God. You know, he's going to give you the freedom to follow or rebel, but holds people responsible for the choices that they make. In this last chapter, you will see that even the forces of nature responds to God's control. And we're going to go into the scripture tonight, and I'm going to call these scriptures because this particular passage is called the Day of Our Lord. And if you read any other chapters, they could say in that day, and it kept saying in that day. In what day? In the day of the Lord. So if we go to 14:1, we will see that it reads as follows. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh. Hallelujah. Have you ever thought about the day of the Lord? And then if you see that, do you understand what they're talking about? Well, they're talking about when Jesus come back again. And the scripture read, and the day of the Lord cometh, and thy sparrow shall be divided in the midst of thee. God was telling the children of Israel and the Israelites in Judah and Jerusalem that it's going to come because you still are disobedient. And yes, I'm going to let somebody come in. And yes, they're going to divide your sparrows. Your sparrows is all that you own. And they're going to use it. They're going to have their way with it. And to say, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be shaken, and the households, and the houses reft, and the women ravaged, which means raped, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. The residue is the remnants. He said they're going to come in and they're going to put you in captivities, and so many of you going to go in captivities, and some of you really going to die, it doesn't say, but plenty were killed. In 3 say, then shall the Lord go forth, fight against those nations as when he fought in a day of battle. He said, yes, they're going to come. Yes, they're going to take you over. Yes, they're going to treat you bad. But if you look in the first chapters in the book of Zechariah, he said, but they went too far. And then he's going to come and he's going to fight as in the day of battle. You see, looking at these scriptures, you see that both Haggai and Zechariah were called and sent by God to motivate the inhabitants of Jerusalem to complete the construction of the temple. He received visions and eternal promises of the coming of the Lord. That's what Zechariah is mostly about. Also, Zechariah was given the instruction to the people how they didn't listen to the prophets of God over and over and over again. You see, the 14th chapter is one of the most hopeful and encouraging chapters in the Bible. God let Jerusalem know that he would go to battle for them and he would win, and how he planned to accomplish it. Now, that's beautiful. Not only will I get them, but you see, the book depicts how he's going to do it. It also say why he's going to do it. You have to pick them points out as you read the word of God, and you can't just read. You got to learn how to study. You see, he planned to accomplish it all. You see, and then it pictures a picture of Christ's intervention in human governments and affair. It depicts his return to power and glory. And it talks about his millennial rule over the entire earth. See, that's what Jeremiah was getting from. You did bad, but God's going to save you. And then it's going to be an even better saving, a saving once and for all. All the nation, all of the enemies is going to be put under subjection. They will be no more. They will be judged. But you see, at this time when Zechariah was talking to him, it was a bad time for him because it was a small Jewish community as they faced continual opposition from the Sumerians. Remember, when the Babylonians seized Jerusalem, they killed so many, they took some to Babylonian where they, you know, became captives of Babylonian. And then the king allowed them to go back to rebuild a temple, but everybody refused, everybody didn't go. It reminds me a little bit of slavery when the slaves was free and they was on a plantation and some decided to leave and some decided to stay. Even though God set up what he think is best for us in our lives, it don't always mean we're going to accept it or embrace it. So the community, the numbers were small compared, and you know other people had begun living in Jerusalem, and they didn't want them back. That was the lesson last week, if you remember. Many times in the Bible, we are encouraged to watch for the day of our Lord. I'd like to ask a question now. What if you knew exactly when the day of our Lord would happen? Would you live differently? But it is evident, Jesus himself said, no one knows the time nor the hour but the Father. So it is not possible for us to know. One time the Jehovah's Witness say that it was going to happen in 2000, and they put plenty of people into to nervousness. And 2000 came and gone. We are now in 2017, and Jesus haven't come back. But would you live differently if you knew? But I want you to know that Jesus could return at any moment. And it's all up to you to be ready. You got to remember, Jesus said he's coming back for his people. And his reward will be in his hand. And if we go to verse 4, it say, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove towards the north, and half of them towards the south. And 5 say, and they and ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountain shall reach unto Azel, ye, and ye flee, like as ye flee from before the earthquake in the day of Uriah, king of Judah. See, God is painting a picture. He said, you know, this is how it's going to come. And it's going to, he's telling us that, you know, it's going to come back on a Mount Olive. The same way when Jesus left, the same way he's going to return. The Bible teaches us to look at Jerusalem because Jesus is going to return to his holy city. So he's telling you how it's gonna be. He's saying how he's going to do it and what you have to do. And they say, and the Lord, the end of verse 5, say, and the Lord, my God, shall come. And all the saints with thee. Now, we're talking about the second coming of Christ, not the first coming of Christ. So you need to know that to get exactly in the faith. The first time he's going to come and he's going to rapture the people, everybody who die in Christ and those who are living. The second coming, he's coming as a judge, as the righteous judge. And it's after the time of tribulation. And those who would stay in then and be able to go with him, but he's coming with his mighty army of saints. He has his bride right by his side, and we are the bride of Christ, and he has, hallelujah, he has his church that he established. You know, it's just paint the picture. You know, when I read Zechariah, I had a little difficult time trying to break down, not really break down of what they was talking about, but all roads led me to Revelation. So I had to get my mind in that mindset to be able to comprehend and then be able to share with you guys on the night. Just look at what he's saying. You see, on the Mount of Olives, Jesus spoke with his disciples about the end times. Near this mountain, an angel promised that Jesus would return as he left. He left the Mount of Olives, they're saying, and he's going to return. So this is letting us know how Jesus will return. During this time, there will be a lot of confusion, judgment, and punishment. God will clearly know who his people are, and only his people will escape his punishment. When the Lord returns, he will have his saints with him. Don't you want to show up for that? It almost seemed like the Armageddon, the battle of the Armageddon. You know, but it's end time, so I had to research a lot in the book of Revelation to be able to feel comfortable talking and explaining and exploring this chapter of Jesus is coming. And then you see, if you go to the sixth verse, and it says, it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known unto the Lord. It won't be day or night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. You know, for me to really explain this, you know, the concordance in your Bible is really good, and when you study, sometimes you get a scripture and you got to go to 3, 4, 5, 6 other scriptures to understand what they're really saying. So this led me to Revelation. For those who are writing and interested about Revelation, it brought me to Revelation 21 chapter, verses 23 and 25. Now watch what it says, 23. And the light had no need of the sun. I'm sorry, the city. Yeah, if y'all are looking for it, Revelation 21, 23 and 25. I'm sorry, give you a little time to get to it. And the scripture reads, 23 said, and the city, come on, y'all, had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And 24 says, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the king of the earth do bring, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. And the 25th say, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Now that's what Revelation said, and I'm going to read the scripture to you again. And it said, and it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear or dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known unto the Lord, not day nor night. And it shall come to pass that the evening time shall be light. You see, when you read the book of Zechariah, all of the study material that I had to go back to was other prophets. You know, it's almost like God started prophesizing, but when he started prophesying, he might have said it a little different way. But he was talking about everything, and now he's talking about the master plan. Hallelujah, that was a record we had. And he's talking about the end times, and he's letting the people know, but it's not nothing that they have never heard, them or their forefathers. That's like God is telling us over and over again. Everything that God is telling us, it's nothing that has not been said. It's just when you want to take hold and receive it and maybe begin to do it, that it makes a difference. But it's nothing new under the sun. And that's in Revelation. So when I found that and I read that, I said, Zechariah seemed like a little Old Testament Revelation book. Well, really, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi is talking about end times and the coming of Jesus. I say that's like revelations of the Old Testament talk, because Revelation is the revealing, and it's about the end times. Hallelujah. And if we look at verse 8, it said, and it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them towards the former seas, and half of them towards the hinder seas. In summer and in winter it shall be. They're talking about a living water. And when they said about the former seas, you know, I had to go look this up. So what did I find? I found Revelation, the 22nd chapter, verses 1 and 2. And if you got your Bibles and turn to that, I'll give you some time if you want to read along. And it says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruit, and yielding every fruit every month, and really yielding her fruit every month. And leaves of the tree was for the healing of the nation. You know, when I looked at Zechariah the 8th chapter, and then I backed it up in Revelations 22, and then I say these scriptures depict the abundant life and continuous blessing of the New Jerusalem. Y'all know that's the place where we're going to spend eternal life. It's talking about the blessing of the New Jerusalem. And these scriptures talk about when the Garden of Eden will be restored. See, that's some of the things that was there, what God had for his people, but his people couldn't receive it and be blessed because of their disobedience. You see, one river containing the water of life which comes from God's throne, and the water and waters the entire city. Hallelujah. And we have one more scripture, 9. And it reads, "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that shall there be one God and his one name." And that name is Jesus. God said there's no other name besides the name of Jesus. Come on, y'all. When all tongues should confess and everyone should bow. He's talking about the nations that, those scriptures that we read, that talking about the nations that God's going to bring up under his subjection. You see, because in the New Jerusalem, you know, everybody's going to live together. So they're going to have different, you know, the people from different nations and different backgrounds and different cultures and different languages, and all of them got to get saved, and we all got to dwell together. But they're going to have one God, the scriptures say, and his name is Christ. His name is Jesus, the Christ. All nations going to come to him. The scripture we read up early, they say the kings is going to bring things to him. Come on now, y'all. The nation's going to bow down before him. So I had to go to Revelation, and I found a scripture in Revelation, those who have your Bible, 11:15, Revelation 11:15, and it reads, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there was a great noise in heaven, saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdom of the Lord," like everything will be subjected unto him, "and of his Christ," the Lord's Christ, "and he shall reign forever and ever." I'm going to read 9 in Zechariah back to you to see how Revelation 11 and 15, you know, is saying the same thing. It's in Zechariah 9 say, "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day." You know, if you read plenty of Zechariah, it kept saying, "in that day." In what day? In that day. In the day of the Lord. And it says, "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day. Shall there be one Lord, and his name one." You know, when we looked at the verse 9 of Zechariah and chapter 11, verse 15 in Revelation, and it's saying, in a sense, that the seventh trumpet is sound, announcing the arrival of the king. And if we paying attention, the scripture in the front say he left from Mount Olive and he's going to come back. So we could add that into it and make it more real to us and give us a better picture. And the seventh trumpet is sounded, announcing the arrival of the king. Now we're going to see him coming in on Mount Olive in Jerusalem, because the scripture before that said it. And it says there is now, I'm telling you now, this is going to happen. And at that time, when this happens, I want you to know that there will be no turning back. You won't be given a second chance at that time to start over. You will have no way to fix the wrong. And you're not going to be able to pray to change the mind of God. The judgment, the coming judgments, will no longer be partial. You know, God brought judgment upon the Judah, and he brought judgment on Jerusalem, and he brought judgment on Israel, and he maybe punished he brought judgment under Solomon. Moses got punishment, you know, but all of that was partial. But you see, when this happened in that day, it will no longer be partial, but complete. You see, God is in control. And he's going to unlash his full wrath on the evil world that refused to turn to him. And I want to tell you tonight, when his wrath begins, there will be no escape. You're going to either be in, or you're going to be out. God took his time and sent 17 prophets, 5 major and 12 minor to let his people know, you know, get it right. You know, God desired that all sorts of men be saved. God wants his people to be saved. But you have to choose him. He won't push himself on you. And for us who have already chose God as our Savior, we should be trying to do what is right. And it's not for us to gain salvation, because Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection secured our salvation, if you believe in him. And once you did believe in him, the Holy Ghost then sealed your salvation. So we are not trying to do, we are not trying to do what is right to become saved, but because Jesus has saved us, because that he died for us, because he was crucified for us, because, you know, his disciples scattered from him, and he had to carry the cross. He had to allow himself to be nailed on the cross. You know, many times in our lives, those who have a relationship with their earthly father, they try to please him, and they don't want him to see or hear about them doing anything wrong. But what more do you owe to your heavenly father? I just want to let you know tonight, Jesus is coming back. And you have to determine, will you be ready? And that's our lesson for tonight. If anybody would like to say anything, add to it, ask for prayer, give words of encouragement, anything like that. Button on your phone, and I'll open the mic. I don't know if I could see it. So if someone would like to have something to say, you can press the number 1 now, and I'll see if I could tell a prompt will come to let me know. You can do so at this time. So I can't tell if anybody have anything to say. So, and we have 8 minutes left. And I'm going to take this time. Some people on the line, I know who they are because of their number, and some people I don't. So I'm just going to Well, I can't tell if you're pressing a button. So I'm going to just go down and ask if you want to say something. If you don't, just say, no, I don't. Caller, your number is 504-256-56. If you would like to say something, say yes. If not, just say no.
What I say?
No.
I just want to thank God for this lesson tonight. I want to thank your sister Diane for the message that you bring. I've been with you since the book of, I think, Nahum. And I have really enjoyed your lesson. You have brought a great understanding to me. I have been reading the Bible. I read the Bible, and I completed it, but I never really got a good understanding of it. And a friend of mine, Sandra Oliver, told me about you. And I got on the prayer line, and it's just been a truly blessing to me every Wednesday to listen to you. And I just thank God for you, and I ask God to continue to bless you with the wisdom and the knowledge that you have to bring to his people, to give us the knowledge that we need and that we may be able to pass it on to some other soul that may not know. And like I said, I thank God for you, and it's been a blessing to me and my granddaughter. We listen to you on Wednesday nights, and I pray that you continue, just continue with this word.
I want to thank you so much, Carla. I just want to thank you for those words of encouragement, and I want to thank you because, you know, I've been coming on this program for almost going on 6 years, and I know it's something that God gave me. So it's not like I'm looking for accolades or anything like that. You know, the Bible teaches me to encourage myself. But the thing is, I want to know that, you know, God's word is not returning void. And I won't know that unless statements like you just did came forth. And I just want to tell you, thank you so much. And if it's God will, keep listening. And remember, there's also a prayer line. And the prayer line is 504-289-9501. Thank you so much, Carla. And
thank
I thank God for you. And I'm going to lift your granddaughter up in prayer as well. Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Okay, Carla, your number is 219-427. If you'd like to speak, you can. If not, I'll go on down the line.
Yes, good evening, Sister Diane. Again, I chose to have prayer with you, and again, I've enjoyed it. And I, too, would like to thank you and tell you that you are a blessing. And hopefully you're able to touch more the way you're touching those of us that join you weekly. This is my second lesson, and again, I'm enjoying it, and I am understanding better with your teaching. I'm understanding it. And once again, I would like to say thank you, and hopefully we can be blessed to meet up weekly from now on. Thank you.
And I thank you so much, Carla, and I thank God for you as well, and I pray you continue to. That God, see, let me tell y'all something. I, on Wednesday night, I only give information. I am a vessel to be used by the Holy Ghost. I give information. The Holy Ghost gives illumination and revelation for those who seek after him. So keep that in mind and keep seeking the things of God. And the Holy Ghost will enlighten you as you go. Thank you so much, Carla. Carla, your number is 504-279-54. If you would like to speak, you can. If not, I'm going to keep going.
So cool. Can you hear me?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. I can hear you now.
Okay. Yes, I would like to speak. You know, growing up, you would go to church and you're in Sunday school and all, but it was taught to you in a way for you to fear it, not to understand it. But since I've been listening to you, I have gotten the most education out of the Bible that I've ever gotten. You speak it to a point where it's easy to understand, and there's no confusion in it. So when I was turned on to your program, I thank God for it. I'm just sorry I didn't do it in the very beginning, else I'd be way of advanced now. But anyone that needs to know or have any confusion in it, this is the program they need to be on.
And I thank you so much, Carla. Thank you
You're
so
welcome.
Much.
You're welcome.
Carla, your number is 504-256-5689. If you'd like to say something, you can. If not, I'll go to the next one.
Yeah, I spoke already.
Okay, thank you, Carla. Carla, your number, I think this one spoke already, too. I must be going back the wrong way. Hold on, guys. Carla, your number is 228-49380. If you like to speak, you may. If you don't, you could. I'll go to the next one. All righty. Caller, your number is 504-53475. If you like to speak, you may. Now I can't see how to get the lines down. Let me see what it is. Got it. And I'm going to do one more. And I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot, but the way the studio is acting tonight, I can't tell. I have a caller, and the number is 111-111. 1111. If you would like to say anything, you can at this time. If not, I'll just go to the next person. And caller, your number is 985-860-91. If you would like to say something, you can at this time. If not, I'll go to the next caller. Caller, your number is 985-860-91. Well, it's now 8:32. I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot. I got to see how to get the studio corrected where I could see only those who would like to speak. You know, it was laid on my heart by God to do that tonight because I don't know why, but just because he laid it on my heart and I did it, I pray that it didn't offend anybody and anybody got so nervous where they would hang up because, you know, I'm telling you, God, Jesus is coming back and we should embrace every opportunity we have to speak of the goodness of Jesus or to speak of something about his name or to speak about what he has done and talk about what he's doing. This is not my Bible study. It's all of our Bible study, and I pray that we all participate. But, you know, I love you, and you don't have to say anything. I still love you the same. God is still grateful. God is still appreciative of your commitment to keep calling. And right now, I'm going to do a benediction and because it's 8:32 or something like that, and I never want us to stay on the line too long. But the benediction for the night and my prayer for each and every one of you, that we take the time to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's coming out of the book of Peter. It's 2 Peter 3 and 18. That was Peter's last writings that he did before he was crucified on the cross. Because of his faith and faithfulness in Jesus. So all of you be blessed. I thank you guys for calling. Let's pray for one another. Let's pray for the people in Texas and the people in Florida and the storm that's out there now. You know, we've been there. We've done that. And we have to be prayerful for one another. You know, keep lifting them up, that God will do a mighty thing in their lives. All these blessings and others in Jesus' name, amen, and see you next week.